You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hello.
No, not yet. Uh-oh. Wait for the music. Jeez.
AK. Wait for the music?
Okay, now, Casey. Now you can start, AK.
Casey, are we live now, Casey?
We're live now.
Jeez. Casey, count me in.
We're live, pal.
Casey, count me in.
Okay.
Oh, we're live.
And three, two.
Oh, hello, everyone. Oh, and live. Okay, well, we are live, pal. Thank you, everyone, for joining the UC Vegas 26 Rodriguez versus Watterson preview show. You coming in a little hot. I will be hosting today. It is I, Alexander K. Lee, joined, of course, by the always wonderful Jose Youngs.
Am I wonderful?
Always.
Am I wonderful?
Perpetually delightful, Jose Youngs.
Delightful? I've never been called delightful in my life, but sure,
and
why
the,
not?
And the best producer in the biz, in the truck, on the ones and twos, EK Slide.
Why are you look lying to people, AK? Okay?
Focused. I never lie to people. I love your Graceland shirt.
I know, it is pretty. Yeah. I didn't actually go to Graceland. I got this out because it cost like $30, but there was a resale shop across the street, and I got this for like $2, so I win.
Don't tell people that. I have so many shirts with like countries and stuff that I've never been to on. I'm a crazy poser. I just wouldn't let people know. I'm sure some of you are wondering, where is Mike Heck? Mike Heck usually handles the hosting for these preview shows. He is on site in luxurious and glamorous Uncasville, Connecticut, hanging around the Mohegan Sun Arena. He has been covering Bellator 258 all week. Very stacked card, and Mike Heck's been there doing all kinds of coverage. If you're looking for a Bellator preview, that show is happening today, but if you want to catch up, there's still time. Mike did a preview show with Josh Thompson the other day. You guys should check that out on MMAfighting.com and on our YouTube. But today, boys, we are talking about a card. This is a card. As you guys know, I like to say, this is a card on Saturday. It's a 10-fight card now. We had some complications this morning at the official weigh-ins. We've had a couple of fight cancellations just to update people. Ben Rothwell versus Felipe Lins will not be happening, according to the UFC. Lins was not medically cleared to compete. That was a preliminary bout. That is gone. And Ryan Benoit and Zaruk Adashev has also been canceled. Benoit came in 3 pounds over the flyweight limit, could barely stand on the scale. And you can find that video really everywhere, but definitely check out MMAfighting.com. We have all the coverage there. So he couldn't stand up. They took him off the stage for a minute. He came back shortly after. They let him weigh in. He was 3 pounds over. You know, I guess they wanted to at least hope maybe the fight could be kept together. But according to Mark Romani at ESPN, he was later taken to the hospital. So that fight was obviously canceled. So we're down to a 10-fight card, 6-fight main. And I mean, you know, we're not... I think there's a lot of compelling fights left, but considering all the other stuff that's happened to the card, of course, Diego Sanchez was originally supposed to co-main event against Don Cerrone. We all know what's going on with that drama. And TJ Dillashaw and Corey Sandhagen, the original main event, was canceled some time ago. Postponed, I should say, some time ago. So, Jose, I'm going to ask you, because you have the best memory with these things, scale of 1 to 10, how cursed is this card relative to some other...
You can go on 1 to 10. How blessed is this card? And we would have said like a 2, you know, but
that's worse.
But you still you frame it so negative. It's be like, Captain Positivity.
Something negatively. Jose is a real jurist. I have to be on with him and ask a question. So this is a real question, Jose. 1 to 10, how cursed is this card compared to some other cursed UFC cards?
There were a lot of obviously really cursed ones for the Apex cards, like near the beginning of this whole pandemic era. They kind of all blend together for me. But like, remember, like I can't remember. Maybe the Anthony Smith one was pretty cursed. I think that might have had like 9 or 10 fights by the end of it. I know UFC 177 has famously been referred to as the most haunted card. I think that's how they phrased it. That was obviously supposed to be TJ Dillashaw, Hennen Barão 2. In the co-main event, I believe, was Demetrius Johnson and Chris Cariasso. And then Hennen Barão obviously fell out like the day of the fight or like the day before. And Juan Soto got bumped up to the title fight. Anthony Berchak eventually got pulled. Demetrius Johnson and Chris Cariasso, I think, got bumped to 178, which is supposed to be John Jones DC. But then obviously that fell out, or John Jones, Gustin, DC, one of those, was something we're in there. And then DJ Cariasso headlines that very stacked card and everyone left for the main event, if you don't remember. And then Cejudo, I think Scott Jorgensen was supposed to be on that. I think Henry Cejudo pulled out. This is when he was kind of having issues making way. I think Justin Edwards and Yancy Medeiros were tied to that. Ruslan Magomedov was tied to that. There was a whole bunch of cards that fell out. And I believe Danny Castillo and Tony Ferguson, which was an early prelim fight, maybe even a Facebook prelim, got bumped up to the co-main event after all of the tomfoolery that happened on that card. So in recent memory, I think that's the most haunted, but you can put this one right up there with it. It's just the fact that there were no title fights that fell out, I think, don't put it at the top.
This is true. Fair point. I'm looking at Hippology right now, just a reflection on some of the things that fell out. Holly Holm, Juliana Pena, was apparently originally scheduled for this card, so that got moved.
That fight sucked. If I got scrapped, it got moved, bro. Juliana Pena?
It's been rebooked. Pena?
Who's she fighting next?
Juliana Pena is fighting Amanda Nunes.
Oh, yeah. They literally just announced that. That's what I was thinking of. I saw the announcement on the UFC social media today. I just was thinking of Julie. Okay. Yeah.
You know, hey, Jose, Mike Heck doesn't mess up like this.
He doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't. But they,
Mike,
you know,
Heck can also. Like Mike Heck. Look, AK, you should go find a hairbrush too.
No. This is all real. This is the real man. You're seeing here. Jimmy Flick, Francisco Figueiredo was supposed to happen. Jimmy Flick retired. I wouldn't call that curse. I'd call that a good decision on Jimmy Flick's part. So never really nothing wrong there. And Roxy was supposed to fight in this card. Roxanne Modafferi and Talis Santos. And that was cursed because Roxy did suffer a knee injury and couldn't be
I do want to add, you got to add UFC 223 to the cursed cards list. That was the Dollygate with Habib, Connor, Ally Quinta, Paul Felder, all those cats.
Can you give a number 1 to 10? Could you, for this card? Is it possible to
for this card
give a quantify?
Maybe a 7, just because there were really no title fights. Like, there were obviously awesome fights that fell out, but the two pay per views I mentioned had like really high level title fights that we lost out on. So I would probably say this would be like a 7, or I would put it a 7.
Hey, TJ Dillashaw never never lost his belt. It was taken away by the man. This is true. So
I think he forfeited it. I mean, it was going to be he's like Nixon. He resigned. Yeah. He was not impeached. He resigned. Yeah. Yeah. Casey, what's the weirdest that you can recall? Maybe not the weirdest, but just recall at the top of your head. You've been to so many events. I know obviously we haven't had a chance to in like the last year, but weirdest kind of, you know, missing out on a bunch of fights and that you were there in person?
Cursed. I mean, there's a lot of cursed ones. It's just my recent memory just being on location. I remember I was in San Jose when Matt Mitrione got kidney stones like the morning of the fight or the afternoon of the fight before he was supposed to fight Fedor the first time in San Jose. And literally, like, as we're going to the arena, we find out that main event is off, Fedor versus Matt Mitrione. And so me and our former MMA fighting colleague, Esther Lynn, we interviewed fans outside going, oh, did you know? And they were like, what? Can we get refunds? There's lots of bad ones, but no.
I love that. Had to do a little man on the street. Do you still talk to Esther? Do you still talk, Casey? Do you still talk to her?
No, she's.
Have you lost touch with her?
We lost touch. Yeah,
she's
farewell. You know,
she's doing okay.
future, yeah. Happy future endeavors, whatever. Yeah. You know.
I messaged her the other day. She's doing okay. I know you don't care, but she's doing all right. Yeah.
She's
yeah.
Right?
I just messaged her the other day.
Why, fine. Why are you messaging her, man? Why, what are you doing?
She was asking about you. She's how's Casey? You know,
she asked about Casey.
It was super awkward. Okay, guys, let's talk about the fights that we do have. Like you said, Casey, I could have framed this as how blessed are we still to have some of the fights. I mean, not to mention how blessed are we to actually have this card still happening, because we were kind of at the beginning of the week, because the UFC seemed so intent on having Michelle Waterson and Marina Rodriguez be the main events, and that fight was not announced until I think Monday afternoon, Monday evening. We were like, are they just not going to have the card, even though they had Cerrone? You know, they could have plugged Cerrone in there. Hashtag Neil on Neil, of course, which they could have put in the main events. We thought maybe they could have bumped, I don't know, Ben Rothwell and Linz to the, you know, from the prelims to the main event. Obviously, that's not even happening now. But yeah, we do have ourselves a card again, as we like to call it. And we have ourselves, I think, what I think is a solid main event, and I'm glad it's a flyweight. But Jose, I'll go back to you. How excited can you be about a card like this when it's so, like, I would say haphazardly handled as far as like advertisement and like hype goes?
I mean, it's rough because now the UFC needs to save all these high level fighters for these big pay-per-views that they want
to hold
in these big markets. So it's not like you can get these last minute opponent changes and this and that. So it is what it is. This is what you get. It's all duct taped together, like kind of threw together Marina and Michelle Waterson. They threw together the top four fights were not as advertised. Pretty much the only one we still have is Neil on Neil. Fingers crossed that still happens. And even then, some of the fights, like, I was really excited for Carlos Fajeda versus Gregor Gillespie, and then I got, like, my heart skipped a beat when Carlos Fajeda came in, what, like 4-5 pounds overweight? So I was like, well, yeah, that fight's canceled too. That has to be canceled by now. I doubt the Las Vegas Commission will allow that to happen, but they did. 30% goes to Gregor Gillespie, so at least that fight is still together. But yeah, this is it's an interesting card. For it is a card, not the best card, and unfortunately, as has been the case with the UFC programming, they are being counter-programmed by a highly anticipated boxing match
between
Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders. So if you are a fight fan and you want to watch a fight, I imagine you're going to want to watch that fight. But if you're just an MMA fan, this is a fight. This is a fight card. Great. The top two fights still interest me. It's just not as advertised.
Sure, there's some competition. Casey, we've kind of known that this fight was in the works since the Dillashaw-Sanhagen fight was announced as being postponed. We knew this was targeted, the main event they wanted. It didn't get resolved for a variety of reasons until Monday. What's your anticipation level for this fight? It's a super high-level fight, a strawweight fight, just happening at 125.
I give this a solid, I don't know, 6. And that's a good number
out for me. Is that out of 10 or is that
out of
6
10.
Out of 1?
6 out of 10.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know,
this card is blessed of a 6. How about that?
Oh, how nice.
I mean, no, I like it. I'm not big into Cerrone, Moreno. How do you say his name?
Moreno.
Oh, yeah, Moreno. Moreno has the co-main, but, you know, people like Donna Cerrone, so cool. You know, whatever. Neil's awesome. Yeah, I am bummed about the Ferreira weight miss because it seems significant. So I don't know if we're getting the best Diego Ferreira. Who knows what happened with his weight cut. But I'm excited to see Gregor Gillespie actually get back in there. You know, I was super excited for him versus Brad Riddell, but, you know, we know what happened there. And I guess they decided to rebook him with different people now. Hiba's Angela Hill. I love this fight. It's the battle of the best laugh in all of sports. So whoever loses the fight isn't allowed to laugh for the rest of the year or something like that. I think that was in the contract. Freaking Phil Hawes is fighting.
Boys, we're gonna hold on.
It's a good card. It's a good card, man.
I love the enthusiasm.
I enjoy the card. The idea of canceling the card, I thought, was ridiculous, especially if no fans. They don't have tickets to sell. So I mean,
if Mike were here. He would tell you guys to slow down. We'll talk about the rest of the fight. I love the enthusiasm. We're going to break it down a little more. I want to talk about the main event a little bit more before we move on. This might seem maybe I don't know, looking too far ahead. But I mean, considering that Rodriguez, I think, is, you know, I think they view her as a pretty legitimate contender. Waterson, obviously, one of the veterans of the game, has been around forever. We've kind of had this shakeup at the top of 115. We don't know, obviously, what they're going to do with Rose. I would hope not an immediate rematch, but it's certainly in the cards. Do you think that there are title implications in Saturday's fight? And who gets closer with a win, like who can benefit more from a win? I'll go to you first, Casey. Watterson or Rodriguez?
I think that's why this card overall, I think of every Fight Night card, we kind of want that one fight that would decide the next challenger for the belt. I think that's what this card's missing, you know, because obviously Sanhagen, Dillashaw, the winner would offer the belt. Last week we had Jiří, Dom, and Dom Reyes, and the winner most likely fight for the belt. There's nothing on this card that suggests that the winner of any of these fights will be fighting for the belt next. But in the main event, I do think, actually, I don't want to do a Dana thing, but whoever wins more impressively, you know, if Marina just rolls over Watterson, then I think Marina's just like one fight away, you know, or she'll be fighting, she may be fighting Andrade next if Andrade comes back down, or basically a top five fighter. And if Watterson wins, you know, I think the UFC's been, you know, just begging, trying to get Watterson a title fight forever. And if she, you know, finishes Marina impressively, I could see her being that one fight away. But there's nothing I don't think either of these women can do tomorrow night, you know, that will give them a direct title shot after that.
I like that. Jose, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I would agree. It would really depend on who wins and how they, like, obviously it matters who wins, but it matters how they win for sure. Because let's not forget, Amanda Ribas, if she had beaten Marina Rodriguez on Fight Island, like, she would probably be like on the short list for next title shot at 115 because of just how much the UFC machine was behind her. But Marina Rodriguez stopped her in round two. And for a division, like, obviously we saw Rose Namajunas get the head kick knockout, but women's strawweight doesn't get a lot of violent finishes. So when you do, you remember what they are. And I think that fight against Angela between Michelle Watterson and Angela Hill was an awesome high-level martial arts competition. Obviously, a lot of people think Angela Hill won that fight, but she didn't. She got the L, and it was a split decision. And obviously, if Marina Rodriguez coming off a TKO win over the next big thing at 115 is a much bigger deal than pulling off a split decision in a high-level fight in the fans' eyes and definitely in the UFC's eyes. So if Marina goes out there and stops Michelle Watterson like she did to Amanda Ribas, that will just catapult her up the rankings, I would imagine, because her only loss is to Carla, who a lot of people kind of, even Rose said, if she beats Yan Xiaonan, is probably going to fight for the title next, or if Yan wins, she'll fight for the title. Like, if the champion has that fight circled, you know that's a big deal. So it really just depends on how they win. I agree with Casey.
Yeah, so there is some potential here, about as much potential as you can have for a main event that was announced in less than a week, and also is taking place at a weight class that is the fighters normally classes. But guys, it's pick time. So Jose, I'll go back to you first. Who wins it? Who wins the main event on Saturday?
This is tough.
It is.
Oh man, I don't know. I truly, honestly don't know. I think Marina, I've said it for a long time, I think is a future title challenger. I really like Michelle Watterson as a fighter and a person. I just think, like, looking back, I know she's lost to Rose, Tisha, Joanna, Carla. She's pretty much only lost to champions or, you know, longtime vets of the sports like Tisha Torres. So I lean towards Marina. I think she hits harder. I think Michelle Watterson might obviously be the more technical kickboxer and kicker. I just favor Marina. She hits really hard. Not that she'll finish Michelle Watterson, but we've seen Michelle get finished a few times. We've seen her get head kicked by Rose and then taken down. So I lean very slightly towards Marina, but it's 51-49 in my mind, and Michelle is more than a game opponent. I think she has a very high chance of winning too.
Casey, same question. That's a great breakdown by Jose. What do you think? Who's taking it home on Saturday? It is a really close matchup.
I think if this fight was at strawweight, I would actually have more of a pick-em fight, but I think at 125, I am going up for Marina. She's going to be the bigger. Michelle already is a relatively small strawweight. She still cuts weight to make strawweight, but now she's basically fighting at her walking weight. And Marina is a big strawweight. She's 5'6" and she cuts a lot of weight. So I think this 125 weight cut is going to be good for her, especially with the 25 minute fight. And I expect Marina to win an exciting but clear cut decision.
Well, let's make it a clean sweep. I'm also leaning towards Marina. I do think that I am glad this fight is happening at 125. I think it's the best of both fighters. Again, I wish I wish some of the other fights on the other card had taken place at a higher class, because Gillespie and Fajeda was also, I think, somewhat short notice. I think less than a month's notice. So that kind of been like a 165 catch. You know what I mean? So by the way, I'm glad that this got this way from Marina and from Marina Watterson. So, but yeah, I'm going the same way. I do think it'll be a decision. So kind of what we were saying before, I don't know how much of a statement will be made on Saturday, but I do think Rodriguez keeps herself right in line for a top five opponent. And then we'll see if she actually gets a title shot after that. But it really could go either way. It's such a tough fight. Again, you have, like you said, someone who's Michelle, who's fought, her level of competition is just a notch higher than that of Marina. And then you have Marina, who again is really skilled and sort of on the come up. But yeah, I'll lean towards Marina as well. I think it's the safe pick. I believe she's a 2-1 favorite, something minus 215, something like that. So last time I checked the odds. So yeah, the smart money is on Marina Rodriguez right now. Well, let's not touch upon the co-main, guys. Like we said, there's not a lot we can say about it because it was thrown together. I think it was announced only shortly before Rodriguez and Watterson. So Donald Cerrone, Alex Morano, it's not the kind of cool, sentimental storyline battle we thought we'd see with Cerrone and Diego Sanchez, two of the UFC's lifers. Instead, we have Cowboy, who will fight anybody, taking on, Morano, certainly a tough welterweight, but a guy who's still kind of looking for that signature win. How do you guys feel about this matchup? Casey, you first.
It's a fight. I don't think it means very much in terms of divisional rankings, being short notice especially. I don't think there's very much we can take from it. I think if Cowboy wins big, then people are gonna be like, Cowboy's back. I like Alex Morano, but I like his personality. I think I appreciate that he's this hype on a card. I think he's a good personality. He's an exciting fighter, but it's a fight. It's a good matchup. I don't know how Cowboy is. I mean, I'm not sure how washed he is, or is Cowboy, is he back? I don't know. Is he eating his little P3? Protein supplements, the snackables for adults and ATVs. I don't know, but I can't even BS my way through this fight. Yeah, it's cool.
No, I think you just did. So that's good job. I'll get a little more guidance for. I mean, I know Jose could have done the same thing, but I'll give him a little more guidance in this follow up. Does a loss mean anything to Cerrone, Jose? So this will be, he's lost four straight. The Nico Price fight, what was the, originally no a draw, so that just overturned. No contest. Now
it's a no contest, yeah.
So winless in his past five. If he loses, obviously, I'll do the math for you, winless in his past six. Does this affect Cowboy at all, his standing with the company? Let's say it's a convincing loss. Let's say it's a lopsided decision or a knockout loss. What do you think, Jose? Can that affect him in any way?
I mean, it's going to affect when he comes back, but I don't think it's going to affect him being a UFC fighter. Maybe one more loss after that. Well, again, we said it for the main event. It would really depend on how he loses. A lot of people think that Anthony Pettis fight could have gone Donald Cerrone's way. I personally don't, but there was that eye poke that the referee missed that very clearly affected the fight. Like, I don't care what, if you don't remember that fight, go watch it. There's no way Cowboy wasn't hampered by that eye poke. Even Anthony Pettis at the end was like, yeah. Shit, I definitely poked him in the eye. I definitely won that fight. So, and who did he lose to before Anthony Pettis? Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, and Conor McGregor. He himself said he wasn't mentally there for Conor. Tony Ferguson, he blew his eye. Remember, that was a TKO by Dr. Stoppage because he blew his nose and his eye blew up. And then the Justin Gaethje one, that was just that was a fair and square, no tomfoolery whatsoever. He just got stopped badly. So, I'm not quite ready to say that Donald Cerrone needs to hang it up because his loss to Tony had some weird things. He was obviously clearly on his way to losing that fight in the 3-round fight, but he wasn't out of it until he blew his nose. Justin Gaethje, that was what? Justin Gaethje was on a 3-fight knockout streak after that. The Conor fight, he wasn't mentally there, and Conor probably beats everyone outside of the top two fighters at lightweight, maybe top three fighters. And then Anthony Pettis had some tomfoolery, and then the Nico Price was very exciting, and I don't think he was out of it. And he actually said in that fight, if you go back and watch our videos after this, because that was one of the fights I was there, he said he was mentally there, and he said he remembers the moment in the fight where in the past
when he was in trouble, he would mentally fade and he would just kind of, his body would kind of, and mind would kind of give up on him in there. And he said that he remembers the moment where he had a conversation with himself in the octagon and he was like, don't bitch out again. Don't do that again. And if you watch that fight, he actually does fight back and he does claw his way back to the draw, because while it is a no contest and he didn't get stopped, it was a draw. Like the ref, it was because of the accidental eye pokes. And so that, so more eye pokes aimed at Donald Cerrone. So, yeah, I don't think Donald Cerrone is quite as done as everyone thinks he is. And I do favor him against Alex Morono. Alex Morono is, of course, coming off that loss to Anthony Pettis. For everything I said, that a lot of people think there was some weirdness, maybe Donald Cerrone beat Anthony Pettis in Jacksonville. Anthony Pettis 100% beat Alex Morono in their last fight. I think that was the Wonderboy Jeff Neal fight. I think that was the last card of 2020. Before that, Alex Morono beat Reese McKee, who I think is a natural lightweight, who kind of made his debut in the UFC against Khamzat Chimaev, which obviously didn't work out for him. And then before that, he had a real short notice fight against the debutant Chaos Williams. And Chaos Williams, that's when people thought, after that fight, people really thought Chaos Williams was going to be this really big deal. And then, of course, we saw what happened against Michelle Pereira. He still could be. Quite sold on it yet. He's good. But he got a stoppage win over a guy who wasn't preparing for this opponent. And then he fought, forgetting his name. He had come back from a long layoff. Lost on fight out. Chaos Williams knocked a guy out whose whole game plan is to run forward. And that's, he ran into Chaos Williams. So two back-to-back wins for Chaos Williams.
Alazan.
There were two back-to-back stoppage wins for Chaos Williams that honestly led to more questions for me. And then we saw what happened when an opponent had a full camp that wasn't just going to run in on Chaos and Michelle Pereira. Michelle Pereira has won that. I don't want to say easily, but no one's arguing that he won. He didn't win that fight. So Chaos Williams is great, but there's still questions I have for Alex Morono. But I still favor Donald Cerrone. He seems to do well with, and also the size of Alex Morono. He's not the biggest welterweight. Mm-hmm. And he's not the strongest welterweight. I just think Donald Cerrone historically does pretty well in those type of matchups.
One quick thing, a big factor I forgot is this has been a relatively long break for Donald Cerrone. He hasn't fought since September, right?
That was the last card before the 5-week trip to Fight Island.
Yeah, so
because I remember that fight ended, and I went right to the airport.
Yeah, like the Pettis, McGregor, Gaethje, Ferguson losses all came within
handful of months.
Yeah, a little over a year and a half. That's lots of beating to take. Maybe remind me in the history of this. Why did the Tony Ferguson Cowboy fought just a month before that against, he fought a 5-round main event against Ally Quinto. Why was that fight even booked? I'm just trying to remember.
That was in Chicago, if I remember correctly. They just wanted to add something to it. Because that was the co-main event. And I think before that, I can't remember what the co-main event was, but it was one of those things where they just threw it on the co-main event was Valentina Jessica Ai, right?
Yeah.
If I remember. I think they just wanted another big name on it. Honestly.
Yeah.
They just wanted to draw eyeballs.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that now. I'm like, that's kind of weird. He beat Ally Quinta and then a month later, down to 55 and finding Tony Ferguson. That just seems kind of. Go on.
If you look at that card, I think at the time it had the most ranked fighters on a card, because like Yan Zhao and Angela Hill was on the fight pass prelims, and like Calvin Kattar was on the prelims, Alexa Grasso, Aljamain Munoz. There were three number one or supposed number one contender fights on that card. That was Tatiana Suarez's last fight. That was Nina's last fight before she had her baby. So I just think
Calderwood opened the card.
Right. Those weren't big money draws in 2019. So I just think they wanted to add something to it.
You know, one thing you mentioned, Jose, is it's so hard. It's so difficult to gauge what Cerrone you're going to get. Like I said, when he's mentally keyed in, it's he's one of the guys you can believe. You know, some fighters say it, but it's true. You can notice a difference when there's fights where he says, yes, I was mentally keyed in for this fight, I wasn't for this fight. I mean, again, maybe it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I do believe there is some truth to it. And I think he's been around long enough where it is those little mental edges and those little, you know, mental tricks that he plays in himself that can make the difference. Because again, he is what he is as a physical product, from a skill set standpoint. So it really is just a lot in his head now. He just turned 38 in March, so he's certainly getting up there in age. And he's but got and yet he's still so
a lot of mileage on him.
A lot of mileage. Yeah, he's not a young 38, he's like in 5 years he's like 50. Well, yeah. He literally is 53 pro fights.
Yeah.
But he's still so again outside of a couple of those blows. Again, the McGregor fight, of course, the Gaethje fight. He's still so competitive. You know what I mean? So that's why it's hard to pick against him. But I know Jose. So you are picking Cerrone. Do you think decision or finish? Decision or finish?
If it's going to be a finish, I think it'll be one of those submissions. But 3 rounds, I just think Cowboy pulls it out. He's also been in camp this whole time. So I just think Cowboy, it's either submission or decision for Cowboy.
And Casey, I'm going to need you to BS a little bit more. What is your pick for this fight?
I'm going Moreno.
The
solid decision victory. He's going to outwork Cowboy. It doesn't matter to me. Cowboy is just, I just don't. 70 is in his weight class. I mean, the big break is good for him, but I don't think it's a mental thing at all for him. I think now it's just, can his body, is his body durable enough to hang with, high level fighters? And I don't think Moreno is a level welterweight, but he's a solid B- welterweight. He's a solid test. And I thought the Cowboy Sanchez fight was a great fight for both of these guys. I think this is, unless Moreno just doesn't, he's just not in shape or he wasn't training. This is under the assumption we're getting, the best Moreno. So I'm picking Moreno.
Wow. Moreno doesn't have like, I think a actual like referee pulls him off. TKO right. Or knockout win in the UFC, right? Because the Zach Otto win, like Zach tapped to strikes, right? If I remember correctly.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a TKO, but it was like a submission. It was like a submission to strikes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he's more of a war of attrition guy. I think that's fair to say about a sort of Moreno, his style, right?
That Reese McKee fight was a lot of fun to watch. It obviously was kind
of. He's had some very entertaining fights.
It was kind of lost in the shuffle, but that Reese McKee fight was fun. I wanted Reese McKee after that because that was kind of the fight that after that Reese McKee lost. I'm like, he didn't get a fair shake against Hamzat. And then he has to go. I wanted to see him drop back to lightweight and they didn't give him a shot.
I don't know who he made mad, but Reese McKee had a very, very rough UFC run.
Why was Moreno, why was Moreno and Nico Price in no contest?
Moreno, Nico Price?
Oh,
yeah.
Because someone was smoking the weeds.
Again,
I think it was Nico.
No, this was.
If I remember correctly. No, I think it was Nico.
So they both had
a knockout. That was a knockout loss, right?
Smoking the weights.
Who got knocked
he
out?
He was originally knocked. Morano was originally knocked out. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Stop, that was guys. On the Houston. I was in Houston. I was at that fight. I remember now. That was a crazy fight. Okay. I didn't realize that got overturned.
I'm also leaning towards Cerrone by decision. Before we get, guys, to our sleeper, we got to move on to a sleeper pick at some point. There's some good options here. Before we do that, though, let me get your quick pick for Neil on Neil. Guys, who will be the superior Neil on Saturday? Casey, you first.
Oh, that's easy. Neil.
Okay, great. Excellent. Jose.
Neil Magny.
Neil Magny.
I think Neil Magny has historically, Neil Magny has done pretty well against hard punchers, like heavy hitters, like Lawler's, Hendricks. And because let's not forget, Lombard. Neil Magny also has like a short notice win against Kelvin Gastelum in Mexico. I think that was short notice, if I remember correctly. I lean towards Neil Magny. Who's Neil Magny lost to lately? Like tall, like who is it? Like RDA, Chiesa, Ponzinibbio. I think he got pieced up by Lorenz Larkin, if I remember correctly, but he himself said he kind of built in his head like Lorenz Larkin has nothing for me, and Lorenz Larkin kind of beat the soul out of him until I think it was a TKO. I can't remember correctly, but I favor Neil Magny.
I'm also leaning towards Magny. I mean, I think just the more experienced fighter, like I said, he only loses to a certain body type, and also I think more experienced opponents. I see he's a 29-28 Jeff Neal in the comments. I see someone just shouting Neal, N-E-I-L, which I believe is an official pick for Neal Magny. So I'll lean towards, but you know what the beauty of this is, guys? We don't have to talk about it. We will find out who is the better. The speculation is over of who is the better Neal at one, the better welterweight Neal. We'll find out tomorrow. That's why I'm so thrilled. I wish Mike was here to enjoy it with me. I know he's also, well, we're all jazzed about it. I'm glad you guys.
What's
are
here the to stipulation? Well. What happens to the Neal that loses?
I think it's just a gentleman's, you know, gentleman's Neal no,
their competition. Name, their name is officially changed to Ned. Their name is officially changed to Ned.
Yeah. So it'd be Ned Magny or Jeff Ned.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jeff Neal wins, I mean, Ned Magny is like a high level gatekeeper at this point. So,
yes. Yeah. Ned Magny sounds better than Jeff Ned. Jeff Ned sounds
losing. Bad. The losing Neal has to spell the name the other one spells it. The way the other
I that it. That is a sir. That is a stipulation. I will do there that. We will at least do that in MMA fighting. I feel like we should fish any mention of them. Yes, we'll be good. Typos be damned. It's going to drive writers crazy. But I love that.
Do we think Jeff Neal is going to improve or learn anything from his loss to Wonderboy? Oh, is this going to be the same guy?
No. It seems like everyone that Wonderboy beats learned something.
I think it's like, just so frustrating. Like, I don't know if there's anything you can take away from that. He's just so different than other fighters, you know?
Yeah. But like historically, who were his last few wins? Like Jeff Neal, who we TBD. Vicente Luque has looked pretty impressive since losing to Wonderboy. And then we all know what happened after he beat Jorge Masvidal. So I think those are his last few wins, right? If I remember correctly. And then he's lost to what? Till Woodley and Pettis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, Rory McDonald won the Bellator championship after losing to Wonderboy.
I'm just seeing. Sorry, I was looking at Jeremiah K. Now says loser changes their name to Niall. Shout outs to Niall McGrath.
Who?
Niall. Oh, that's horrible. You know, you're a good friend.
Oh, okay, that dancing raisin.
You love that guy. Sure. So I'll get to more reader comments and questions in a second. But of course, guys, let's go sleeper pick. You can really any fight again. This card is kind of one of those cards is kind of being overlooked a bit. Again, understandably, people weren't even sure there was going to be one until Monday. What's the sleeper? Jose, I'll go back to you first.
I always like watching
Christian Aguilar. Hold on, Jose, you had to pick one. Now that I'm hosting the show, I will say you are an incredible analyst, but you do have a habit. I'm calling you out. You do have a habit of when we ask for a sleeper, you name every fight on the card. So today,
I pick fighters. And lucky for you,
I don't know.
Okay. Lucky for you, my answer answers both of these. I'm very excited to watch Christian Aguilera kick off the card. I've watched him a ton in LFA when obviously the regional scene. I interviewed him before his UFC debut, and he was one of those fighters that it felt like every fight he was in. It would be like, well, if you win this, you get in the UFC. And then he would kind of stumble. Yeah. Like he lost to David Machado. He's lost to, I think, I can't remember all of them. I just remember the David Machado fight he lost. But it always, like, one more. And then he finally gets in the UFC. He gets that big TKO right away. And then he runs into Sean Brady. And everyone is losing to Sean Brady at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much looking forward to him. And then Carlson Harris, I believe, is making his UFC debut. So that is a fun fight. And it kicks off the card. I think it's a fun fight to kick off the card. I think he kicked off his... Christian Aguilera kicked off the card. He got that, like, I think it was like a 50-second knockout in his UFC debut. But then that was the card. I don't know if you guys remember. Yes, that was the I Calvillo card where everyone was like, this card sucks. And then it was like the first three fights all had like sub-minute knockouts. I think that was when Julia Avila got one too, like right out of the gate. So yeah, Christian Aguilera and Carlson Harris should be fun. But I hope everyone watches it.
That is an excellent deep cut. I think Christian Aguilera is also the guy who I once saw throw a Showtime hammer fist, if I'm not mistaken. He's a very, very creative guy, very creative striker. Casey, give me your sleeper pick.
Oh,
one.
I heard you. I know how to follow instructions.
I love
his name is Casey. I love rules. Not Juan.
I love rules.
Can I go? Amanda Ribas versus Amanda Hill. Amanda Ribas versus
Okay, go now. Oh, sorry. Oh no. Oh, sorry. Okay.
I like that fight a lot. Is this Amanda Seabus's first fight since?
Yeah.
So no, yeah, first fight up coming off a bad loss. Yeah. So we see a really good grappler with okay striking and a great striker with okay grappling. And I just hope they just do mad libs and just make jokes the whole time. I actually don't want mad this fight. Libs. I live in rule. And it's a good fight. And I thought Michelle Waterson. I thought Angela Hill beat Michelle Waterson. I thought she beat Claudia Gadela. It was a very close fight when she fought Zhaonan Yan. You know, I mean, to me, Michelle Waterson's. Angela Hill's last real loss was in 2019 when she fought Randa Marcos. When she got finished. But after that, I mean, Angela Hill's freaking looked really great, and Amanda Hibas looked really great. I think she just ran into a better fighter when she fought Rodriguez. But I love this fight, and I think it's the deep cut.
I also like when this cluster of fighters kind of shakes out this way, because Rodriguez replaced Waterson to fight Hibas and then beat her. So now Waterson gets to fight the fighter who replaced her. And then Waterson also beat Angela Hill. So then Angela Hill kind of goes in this other bracket where she can go fight Hibas. I like when things shake out that way. It's very logical for everyone. And it creates these fun matchups and matchups that help people. So I'm going to lean towards featherweight. I like this Ludwig Klein-Trezano matchup for a couple of reasons. It was nice to see Klein make weight. It's unfortunate. He had a great, great debut. It does suck. He missed weight, which kind of put a blemish in this highlight reel knockout he had. And then Trezano, I'm just happy. He's his first time fighting, I think, in almost 2 years. He's just had some bad luck. He's a former Ultimate Fighter winner and a talented guy. He just hasn't been able to get in the cage. I think it was an ankle injury that knocked him out of his last booking. So fingers crossed, everything. I know, as Jose always says, this card is intact until they get into the cage. So hopefully everything goes well for him. We didn't even mention we did mention briefly Gregor Gillespie. Thank goodness that fight is back. He was supposed to fight Riddell, right?
Yep. And then Riddell got the Rona.
And then Gillespie had to wait again. So that's exciting.
But, I don't think it was Riddell. I don't think Riddell got the Rona. I thought someone around him got the Rona.
Or his camp.
His team got
Volkanovski, the Rona. Right?
Because he was involved. He was training with Volkanovski and that whole the whole Australian crew.
So. Also, I just want to say the Ludovic Klein, when he missed weight on Fight Island, was also very last minute. And that was when Izzy went on that rant after he won about how fighters should they should give all their paychecks to the fighter or something like that.
He was furious
because he knocked out his teammate.
Of course.
You're right. I mean, you asked for great matchups, great low key fights, but in terms of just watching Klein, I'm happy he's back. And that because I do remember his fight now. I was like, woo,
dude. What is he like? He's like 17-2, 17-3, and
His two wins before the UFC were head kicks. Yeah, and they were just nasty.
And then his debut was a head kick knockout. It was a TKO that started with the head kick.
It was a head kick knockout.
Right. He's I'm glad he made the weight. So
Trezano's last fight?
Oh, I gotta look this up.
He was booked by someone, and then he got an injury that last.
I want to see if you can get. He lost. I want to see if you can guess. He lost.
I know he beat Joe G. In his debut to win the tough finale.
That was in 2018.
And then I know he beat Luis Pena in Denver. Correct. Denver. Casey and I were at that one. And I know, and then he lost. And by default, because I know they were matched up, it's got to be Grant Dawson. Yes, but I don't remember which card it was on.
It doesn't matter.
A blue chipper in Grant Dawson. Well, I guess he's now a lightweight, but.
Which card was that? I don't know what card it was.
I can tell you the card. Dos Anjos Lee. ESPN.
Rochester.
Rochester. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That was the one Megan Anderson got. Well,
I do not know how you remember any of this stuff, but Casey, I know we probably have a full show already. Is there a couple of questions you want to squeeze in there? Questions or comments from the listeners?
Oh, I also expect a breakout performance from Phil Haas tonight.
Hey, you're big on the Haas train. You always have been.
And you, what are you? Whatever the opposite of Haas train, that's who you are.
Don't start. Do not give me another nasty message from Phil Haas' brother, please. No, I have so much respect for Phil Haas. I just said he took a long winding road to the UFC. That's to his benefit.
That is true.
All right, that's a compliment.
I remember at the end of 2020, we did some show where we're like, who's gonna be the breakout fighter or whatever? And I remember I was like, my long shot breakout fighter of 2020. 21 was gonna be Phil Haas. So let's see if it his last performance was, you know, he gets tired, but if he wins in the first 30 seconds, we'll be like, yeah, Phil Haas. Questions.
What do we got? I saw a few, but
we're getting spammers.
Yeah, I blocked. I got rid of one of them.
Can you block? Do you see that? Yeah. Okay. Well, if you check it out,
It should be gone. I got it on YouTube.
Ooh, that's too small. Hold on.
Well, look, we sort of discussed this earlier. Thank you for the question, Galactus MMA. Will Cowboy be cut after he loses again? Well, let's just answer it quickly. No. Jose?
I would say no, especially depending on how it, well, worst case scenario, he just gets like crushed in like 4 seconds, then maybe, but I think Dana might have a conversation with him but no. Cowboy's one of those guys that'll fight on like 24 hours notice and for a lot less money than most fighters will, you know. Like, that's why kind of Nate Diaz kind of threw him under the bus a few years ago, where Cowboy was taking all these fights and Nate's like, he's the reason we're not getting paid, because he'll fight for whatever. So no, the UFC will not cut Donald Cerrone.
Is that Cowboy Cerrone still exists? The whole I'll fight anywhere, anytime, whatever. I don't think that's a real thing. I think it's a myth now.
He could have not taken the Murano fight.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
He was in training camp. It wasn't just like they called him, you know, like I just think that's bad for his health. I mean, that's not good for him. You know, that's why I'm really interested with the long break, how he's going to do this fight. But is he going to cut for loss? If he gets just deaded by Murano, like I think Jose said, we'll have a conversation, which probably means if Cowboy loses bad, Cowboy will be one of those guys kind of we'll see once every 9 months for a little bit. I don't think we're going to see him, you know, next week, you know, short notice. He's not going to be a short notice guy or anything if he loses.
Let's spin off this question a little bit. I think we all agree he's probably not going to get cut. What will it take for him to retire? Like I said, he just turned 38 in March. This will be his 37th UFC appearance. I think is either tied with Jim Miller or still behind Jim Miller for the most bouts of appearances in UFC history. He already has the most wins at 23. Do you guys think he sticks around for some round number like 40 fights or 25 wins? What's it going to take for him to make a decision himself that I'm done competing? Either guy, jump in.
I think it's gonna be a doctor. He's gonna have to hand over some CAT scans to the UFC. I think that's always gonna stop it from happening.
That's a fair point, because then say the UFC releases Cowboy because of that, I don't think there would be many promotions that want to give him a shot. Like, of course they would want it because he's a popular name, but do you want to be the promotion that books a fight with someone that the doctor said, like, you know, has brain lesions?
Yeah,
that would be, man, that would be the end of an era. Whenever that quick trivia question for Jose: when did he make the jump from WEC to the UFC? What year?
Oh, 2011, because he went like 4-1, right?
Correct.
Nailed. He went 4-0 and ran into Nate Diaz at UFC 141, Overeem versus
Lesnar. How do you do this? You're looking at a screen right now. You're looking.
That was the co-main event. That's the famous when Donald, like his corner was like, take him down. And Cerrone was like, no, I'm going to beat this guy standing. And it's like Nate Diaz just beat the crap out.
Lit him up
for 15 minutes.
Yeah. But you're right. Four straight wins. Paul Kelly in his debut, then Wagner Hocha, Charles Oliveira, Dennis Siver.
Jose, do you remember Nate his last, India. Who he beat in his last victory in WEC? It's a name.
Oh man,
it's a name too. It's not
there's no
guy.
It is a name.
It is a name.
If I give you a hint, it'll probably be like, I think it'll be too obvious for your hint. I think if I give you a hint, you'll get in like a second. So,
what is it?
Canadian. He's Canadian.
Give me a hint.
It's Canadian.
It's a Canadian. Canadian guy.
He's cute.
He did not. He never made it. He did not make it to the UFC when WC went over. He was not part of the. Part of the transfer.
It wasn't Jamie Varner, right?
I never.
That was the second.
It was one after that.
No.
Yeah.
And so it was on the Glendale card.
Yeah, it was on Henderson. Correct. Pettis. It was on the Henderson Pettis card. Yep.
WEC 53.
He finished him with a triangle choke in the second round.
Chris Ordesky.
He would later
got it.
Chris Ordesky. Wow.
Triangle choke. Yeah,
amazing.
I remember that.
See, but I was right. He's Canadian and cute, right?
Yeah. As soon as you said triangle, I was like, dang.
How do we not do a show? How have we not done a stump the Jose show? How has this not happened yet?
I don't know
Casey, everything. Write this down. you don't know everything, but that's the point. People have to have a chance. You can't. We will.
It is a fun game. He had three losses in WEC, right? He lost to Benson twice, and then he had that weird Jamie Varner loss. Those are his only three losses in WEC,
The technical decision, it stops. Oh, the infamous Jamie Varner, such a scamp. Right. Casey, what else do we got? I am the king. Yes, Al Mack, you are correct. I love rules.
He's cantankerous. Listen,
my fellow Canadian Al Mack, when we follow the rules, everybody has fun. Okay, I think that's how I was raised, and I think that's shown in MMA. You follow the rules, everyone has fun. What else have we got? Our boy, Joseph Boza. I was wondering, okay, Joseph Boza, is Alex Morano playing with house money since he took this fight on Monday and made 170 successfully? Jose nodding vigorously.
Well, I mean, anytime, like I've said this a lot, anytime you do the UFC a favor, regardless of whether you win or lose, it will benefit you in the long run. Like Kamaru Usman did it a bunch, and then he ended up getting that title shot, that like much wanted title shot against Tyron Woodley. As soon as Colby kind of held out, they were called Kamaru Usman right away. Like we all said, like Habib's done it a bunch, and then obviously Habib kept like, and at the end of the day, winning is what matters the most, but it's not gonna hurt you if you do the UFC a favor and you make weight, because obviously we've seen like Demarcus Johnson, I think a while ago, this is the first one I could think, like he took a fight on short notice and then he came in overweight in the UFC. And this is back in the Joe Silva days. Like, why did you take the fight if you knew you weren't going to make weight? And then they just cut him off the loss. So I think that was to, oh man, who did he lose to? I can't remember. But yeah, so anytime you do the UFC a favor, show up, do your job, you're probably going to get you're probably getting some good money. You're probably going to get at least one or two more shots in the UFC.
Casey, what do you think? Morano's playing with house money. Is there such a thing when you're
appealing to UFC as playing with house money? If there is such a thing, this is the definition of it, pretty much. I think. I mean, if this is Morano late notice versus basically any other welterweight, you know, regular welterweight, he's on the prelims because it's Cowboy co-main event spot. It's a big opportunity for Morano, and absolutely. And if Morano gets starched, you know, he's in the same spot. Yeah, he's got a concussion and a headache for a few months. Well, for it was hopefully not, but but for a while. But this is definition of a house money type fight for him.
Yeah, and I think you just want to have your name in the same zone as guys like, because again, Anthony Pettis was by far the biggest name he fought. Before that, what would we say? Either Max Griffin or like Josh Berkman, would you say is like biggest, right? Yeah. Before Pettis? So yeah. that's another level.
And if you beat, and Cowboy's one of those fighters too, if you beat him, you remember every name that's beaten up Cowboy Cerrone. Yeah.
But still people remember.
Yeah you remember. So if Alex Morano can do that, then either two things can happen. Either Cowboy's done and doesn't really, kind of like, you know, after you beat Barao now, no, him and Barao, you don't really care who beat, you know, he's not the same fighter. So either Morano just beats him, but an old Cowboy, or we see Morano has like, oh, okay, never mind. He's an elite guy now. I'm really excited for his next fight. I don't know how it's going to go after the fight if Morano wins, but we'll see. But it's always a big deal beating up Cowboy.
Casey, while you dig up another question, I have to answer a comment from Jeremiah K. Again, he says Cerrone is unranked, 0-4-1, and it's a short notice fight. He is not unranked, actually. Cerrone, if you look at the official rankings, the official UFC rankings, is number 15 in the lightweight division. I don't know why.
In lightweight?
He just is. He is number 15, lightweight. Don't ask me. I looked this. This was that I was taking my notes today, and I had to double check. I don't know. I got nothing for you. If you go to u.com/rankings right now, you will see number 15. Casey, you know, the coveted number 15 spot you're always talking about. You always say that. Again, 11 to 15 is almost as important as 1 to 10. He is number 15 at 155 pounds.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
That's the thing. All right, I got a couple.
That's the thing. It's a ranking.
It's a ranking. La la la. Another one from Mr. Boza.
Oh, Mr. Boza, thank you. Marina Rodriguez versus Mel Watterson. Great main event. Although the reaction on social media hasn't been that great. Why was the reaction so bad? The fans want this card to be axed, not happen. I don't think, I'll just jump in first and I'll just say, I don't think it's that it was because of this main event that fans didn't want the card to happen. That is not the chronology of events. It was the fact that they weren't sure this fight was happening that people thought the card was going to be canceled. Now, I don't know. Maybe I haven't been looking up enough of the reaction after. I remember I spoke to Michelle this week, and she mentioned how, and I remember this distinctly, when her and Angela Hill were bumped up to a main event, the people were like, oh gosh, like, they made him fight two extra rounds. It was like an official 5-round main event, you know, it was bumped up on short notice, and people were complaining then. That fight, I think, was one of the best 5-round fights of 2020. I thought that fight was excellent, and I think this fight is going to be great as well. So, again, I don't know how negative the reaction has been. It could be the usual people who gripe about, you know, women's MMA, no matter what's going to happen, and those people should just be ignored anyway. But I don't think there was ever anyone saying that, oh, the card should just be axed if they're the main event. I think it was like, it was just people wondering, why is the UFC not announced this yet? And is there not going to be a show? But again, I haven't been reading everything. Am I off base in this, guys? Have you seen reactions? People saying that they're going to boycott
the card? I don't seek out or respond to people complaining about things on Twitter or YouTube or Facebook. So I have absolutely no idea.
I've seen lots of negative feedback on this, and I disagreed with it all. Yeah, this isn't the main event we wanted, but it's a fine main event for short notice. I mean, it was the return of TJ Dillashaw, you know, so that was a big deal, you know?
It was a number one contender fight.
It was a true number one contender fight, not like kind of like, well, whoever impresses me might fight for the title next. Dude, I'm getting really good at my Dana impression, by the way.
I thought you were playing a clip.
Yes.
I think TJ Sanhagen, like, we all want, like, I obviously I want to see it happen tomorrow, but it might be a blessing in disguise if the bantamweight title's kind of tied up for a bit with Aljamain still recovering.
Yeah, look, that is the bummer, and what we've kind of been dancing around for most of this preview show is like, what we got is what we had, you know, again, what it was hyped up to be. Because the top two fights were killer. You know, again, Dillashaw's return, Sanhagen maybe getting to add that name to the list, become the for sure number one contender, and continue his climb to the top. And then Cerrone and Sanchez was such a great, again, veterans matchup. What a great way to send Diego off. And it became something so sour and so rotten with this, storyline with his stupid coach, friend, whatever you want to call him. So I don't want to, I hate to end on a negative note, but I do think we're about near the end here. Yeah. I know. Between the links. Yeah, no, let's get another question. I would have to end on that. One last question, but let's make this the last question and on a high note.
Not a question, but just...
comments, yeah. Zapdos, hype for Sergio Pettis. Absolutely. There's a note we can end on. Of course, UFC Vegas 26 tomorrow, I believe starting at 6 p.m. now with the two cancellations on ESPN Plus. Main card, 8 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Up in Canada, we'll be on one of the TSNs. So for my Canadian homies, you guys got to figure that out. There's five of them. Sergio Pettis fighting Juan Archuleta in the main event of Bellator 258 tonight. That card might be going on now.
As of this recording.
Yes. Yep.
Because we get a lot of people that listen to this on the podcast network or watch the replay. Yeah, yeah. So for those of you that are watching tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, what a fight that was.
This one is going to the judges.
This is for at least tomorrow.
Wow, did you say the predicament he or she got himself into that night?
Man, I can't believe Augusto did that to Rumble. That was crazy. That is one thing I would not have predicted. Let me tell you something. So there you go. For you guys listening on the Saturday, here you go. That was your Bellator 258 recap.
Spoiler.
But no, I know a lot of us people are watching live. Yes, that show is. I believe the prelims happening now. The main card does not start till 8 p.m. So you guys have plenty of time to either enjoy the prelims or go do some other things. But thank you guys for joining us. We had a lot of great action. PFL was wild. We could have talked about PFL.
Oh, those speed strikes. Those strikes is the speed of them.
Woo. I heard someone hit 30 Canelo. 30 miles an hour.
Canelo, round 7.
Let them know. Canelo, round 7 TKO to unify 4 world titles on Saturday night. 4 super middleweight titles.
Why do people watch boxing? That ring's too big. But it's too small. I don't know, whatever.
Thank you, everyone. Keep up with all of our coverage, especially Bellator 258. Mike will hopefully be back hosting the next time we do your preview show. But thank you for letting me do it today, everyone. And we'll see you next time. Oh, I guess we might do a Q&A tomorrow.
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm looking way too far.
2:30 Pacific, whatever.
5:30 Eastern. Pre-fight Q&A. Mike will, I believe, be with us.
He'll be here.
I don't know if Mike will be here. So join us. UFC Vegas 26 pre-fight show tomorrow before the show starts. Bye.
AK, you did a great job.
That was smooth.
He did okay.
I mean, it is his birthday. No, I'm just gonna say whatever makes him feel better.
It's true. It's no wait, stop. It's not my birthday.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.